This episode is brought to you by Magic Spoon. You guys know how I'm super obsessed with eating healthy, clean. I'm constantly working out, and Magic Spoon is the best post-workout treat. I am obsessed with it. We're all trying to eat healthy and better, but it doesn't have to be boring. Magic Spoon has the amazing flavors you love, but without all the bad stuff. I've been trying to cut down on carbs, sugar, unhealthy food, and realize I basically can't eat anything anymore. I've been drinking protein shakes, protein powder for years, but finally found the most delicious way to get my protein before and especially after my workouts. Magic Spoon has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. There's only 140 calories in each serving. It's keto friendly, gluten free, grain free, soy free, and low carb. You can build your own box or get a variety pack with available flavors like cocoa, fruity, frosty, peanut butter, which is my absolute favorite, blueberry, and cinnamon. Magic Spoon is bringing back 2 super popular flavors, cookies and cream and maple waffle. Yeah,
coming back. Maple waffle is coming back permanently. This is legitimately as excited as I have been in months.
You guys should see
this stuff is
right now.
Delicious.
Go to magicspoon.com/bearwithus to grab your delicious cereal and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code bearwithus, B-A-R-E, at checkout to save $5 off your order. Magic Spoon is so confident, as they should be, in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason whatsoever, they're going to refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/bearwithus and use the code bearwithus, B-A-R-E, to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode of Bear With Us.
What is up, boys and girls and everything in between? It's Bear With Us. I'm Matt. She's Leah. Leah, how are you, my dear?
I'm great. I was just doing a little headbanging after that concert we went to last night. So I'm like really in this punk rock mode.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I went to my first punk rock show last night. So basically I'm Joel Madden now.
Would you say that? God. That was the most offensive thing you could have done to start off this podcast.
Why?
I was in a good mood. I took a sip of that Kool-Aid, which was gross, to be honest with you. I haven't had Kool-Aid fruit punch in like 20 years.
I mean, me neither. I just saw it in the refrigerator. You got these for the kids. And I was like, ooh, I kind of want one. I don't normally drink Kool-Aid or sugary drinks, but I was like, other than wine, obviously.
I was a squeeze it guy when I was a kid.
I love squeeze it. Do you remember Mondo's?
Mondo's were good.
Mondo's were the shit.
I'll do the other one. There was Boku.
What the heck is that?
Boku. There was the comedian, Richard
Gere.
No, he's not a comedian.
Petty.
No, Richard Petty was a race car driver. Richard, I forget his last name. Passed away, but he used to do these commercials and
Richard
they were called
Simmons.
Boku, which meant, I believe, is more than, right? Merci Boku, very much.
Merci Boku.
So it was Boku, and they were like giant juice boxes. And I remember like when I got to be a little older in elementary school, I was like, high C is not enough for me, Mom. I need Boku. And I had Boku for a short period of time. I don't believe they make it anymore. But
that's so funny. That's really hilarious.
We got to break the big news to everybody,
right? We do. We have big news. Can we insert a drum roll?
Good news and bad news. Do we give them the good news first
Let's do the bad news first. Always do the bad news.
The bad news is this will be the final episode of Bear With Us for the foreseeable future. We are going on a short sabbatical, a hiatus, a break, whatever you want to call it. We absolutely will be back.
100.
This is not a goodbye forever. This is a we'll see you in a few weeks because we've got some real life major things happening. Leah, would you like to do the honors?
Well, the good news is we got a house. We bought a house. Oh, we bought a house. Oh, a house in the middle of the street. Oh, house. Don't worry, it's not in the middle of the street.
Was that Xtina Aguilera doing madness?
Oh, house.
But yes, we bought a house, which is so exciting. So we're going to be moving. We're going to be packing. We have so much going on with that. And so this podcasting equipment, the studio will be in transit.
And we need a few weeks to get everything set back up and operational. And then we will come back to you from our new home. And on a long enough timeline, our new Bear With Us studio, which will be built inside of our home, which that might take a little longer than, you know, a few weeks, but that's coming your way. So don't give up on us. Just give yourselves a nice little break.
And I just want to say we have some other news, right? But we can't like officially say what that is yet. But we have some really cool projects in the works that are all due to this podcast, Bear With Us. So we really need to thank you guys for coming along this weird, random journey with us. We had no idea what we were doing or what we're getting. Oh, I mean, Matt is pretty good at podcasting. He's like, okay, you know, he's a professional. I'm not as good as me. No, but we did not know what we were doing with what Bear With Us was going to be. But you guys stuck with us. You've listened. You've interacted with us. You've helped us. And we can't say just yet what this project is, but you will find out sooner rather than later. So we just wanted to thank you guys for being along with us. And without you guys listening, we would not be following this little journey that we have ahead of us.
Absolutely. Thank you all for listening and supporting this show and listening to us give ill-qualified advice.
Unsolicited.
About nonsense and nothing. But at least we're having fun together, I think. And hopefully this next little venture gets off the ground sooner rather than later. But it will be cool. So stay tuned. But until we get there, we still have an episode of Bear With Us.
Yeah, let's have some fun. I have something to tell you. I have a conversation I need to tell you about today. We're going to do a mailbag episode today. We're going to have a bunch of questions we're going to get to. But before we get there, I have to tell you about this conversation I had with my dad today.
Okay.
You're going to die. So if anyone listening has heard of my father, he is a character. He used to work in WWE. He has done every job under the sun, has had every single job you could ever think of or imagine. He's tried everything. Jack of all trades, master of none. I don't even know how else to describe him. He is a character. Like, he dresses up in Elvis costumes and sends me videos of him as Elvis.
Because
all the time.
It's Tuesday.
Just because. So he calls me today. I'm on my way to the gym. He's like, Leah. He's like, calls me Leah, by the way, not Leah. Leah. So, he's like, you know, I'm just driving back from a tattoo parlor. I'm like, I'm from Boston. So he has like this crazy thick accent. I'm like, oh yeah. He's like, yeah, I go to the tattoo parlor and I walk in and I want to get a tattoo. And I said, well, what did you get? He goes, I didn't get a tattoo because I had to wait 4 months to get the tattoo. And I'm like, he's like, can you believe that? He's like, you have to wait 4 months to get a tattoo. You can't just walk in. And I'm like, first of all, Dad, what tattoo were you going to get? He goes, well, I don't know. That's why I went. He goes, I walked in and I asked the woman, I said, hey, you got any pictures on the wall here? Like, I need to know what I want. And the woman's like, well, do you have any ideas? And he said, no, I thought that was up to you guys. Like, I want to look on the wall and see some pictures. And she's like, well, sir, you know, usually people bring in photos like from their phone, like of an idea of something they want. We work with them on that. He's like, well, how do I know what I want? Maybe I want an eagle or maybe I want something tribal. But then she told me tribal tattoos aren't in anymore. So how do I know what I want? He was just killing me.
Well, the good news is it sounds like your dad actually found a decent shop, because if they're booked out 4 months and they don't have flash on the walls, chances are that they probably do some legit work. So I guess that's probably a good thing.
Making me laugh. He's like, you think Matt has to wait 4 months to get a tattoo? So, well, I know he got a tattoo recently and he had to wait for it, a schedule. It's not like you walked in and you had to.
Yeah, the whole walk-in thing is not, you don't have a high success rate with walk-in tattoos. And
he's like, you know, the world just isn't what it used to be. Can you believe the world's just not what it used to be? It's like, you can't even walk in somewhere and get a tattoo anymore. I'm like, but Dad, it's not like he's covered in tattoos. He has two tattoos he got when he was in the Marines. One says USMC, like devil dogs. And then the other one is just a panther. Like he's like, you know, back in my day, this is how it was. I'm like, oh, all of a sudden you're like Mr. Kat Von D. I don't know. But he just kills me. He was making me laugh so hard. I had to tell this story.
I wonder whatever happened to her. She was like a huge star for a long time.
She was with that Jesse James.
But I don't know, even he's kind of like MIA these days. I don't know. It's funny how you know, 15 minutes of fame sometimes doesn't even last.
Well, you know,
long.
She has a very successful makeup line.
Oh, okay.
Like very successful.
Oh, I'm sure she was a boss tattoo Sephora. Artist. She yeah. was awesome. I'm not speaking ill of her. I haven't heard her name in a while. Cause for several years when LA Inc. and all that was happening yeah. on TV, she was everywhere.
Yeah, and she's gorgeous. I love her. I think she's pretty cool. I mean, but I haven't heard anything about her for a while. So I don't know if she's gotten herself into trouble or said something bad. I don't know anything about her recently, but I do like her makeup.
What's in the mailbag?
Here's the mail. It never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail. Mail!
Wow. You really committed to that.
I love that for me. Let me just take...
And that was the end of Leah's
that
singing
really
career.
Hurt my throat. Hold up. Let me clear my throat.
I hate that song. That might be my least favorite song in American history. Did I ever tell you that? How yes, my disdain for that song?
Have mercy, babe. I hope you can't lie. Let me clear my throat. I used to have the tap dance.
I bet you did.
All righty. Here we go. Question number one, honey. Hi, Matt and Leah. Love the podcast. I've been single for almost all of my adult life. I'm turning 30 soon, and I just feel like I'm so behind on so many things when it comes to dating. All of my friends are also coupled up, and I can't help but feel like I won't find anyone. I don't know what it is, but it makes me feel insecure about myself, and I'm starting to think that I'm the problem. Any advice on how to be more confident or how to find love, especially in a pandemic world? I've tried online dating, but haven't been able to meet anyone either. I don't think you're behind at all. You're 30. It's not like you're 70. Even if you were 70, who cares? There's no right or wrong time. And I think the way society is now is getting a little bit more forgiving, whereas maybe 10, 15 years ago, it was like, you have to have a kid by a certain age. You have to be married. You have to have this. You have to have that. Whereas nowadays, I think it's okay to wait. Like I feel like a lot of pressure sometimes because I'm 33 and I don't have kids. I'm not married, but it's like, that's okay. We have to stop putting pressure on ourselves to reach something by a specific age. Being 30, you are so young. You have your whole life ahead of you. And that's okay. It gives you this time to kind of figure out what you're looking for in a partner, what you want. I don't think that being 30 and single and never really having a serious relationship is a problem.
No,
that's my opinion.
And we talk about it pretty frequently. We have similar questions all the time. It's going to happen to you when you least expect it. It's like the more you work toward it or set a goal to be in a relationship or to make a connection, it almost complicates things even worse. You just kind of have to let it happen. And it will happen, and it will happen when you're not looking for it with somebody you did not expect to connect with, or somebody random. It might be somebody at work and you just spark up a conversation, and next thing you know, you think, I kind of dig this person, or this person digs you. I want to ask you, Leah, regarding the confidence aspect of her question, because I understand that's something that a lot of people struggle with. We've all admittedly struggle with self-confidence at different points. What is your advice to her for upping that?
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say, there's no need to be insecure about it. Like, you need to know who you are, and you're not going to change for anybody. And that is something you should remember when you're looking for someone. Don't settle on someone just because you've never been in a serious relationship. You have to be yourself and be okay with being alone. And then you won't be insecure about it. No, like, I'm okay. This is me. I am who I am. And I'm going to find someone when the time is right. Don't put pressure on yourself. And you have to just remind yourself of the bad bitch you are. Don't worry about what other people think of you. And it's easier said than done, I know. But I'm sure you're a catch. And listen, nobody is perfect. So I can understand if you're sitting here, well, what about this? Like, is this wrong with me? Or should I fix this? Or should I not be acting like this or doing this? No. You are perfect the way you are, and you should never change for anybody, and you should never settle for anybody just because you're looking for a relationship because you've never had anything serious. Standards, society, what everyone else wants and thinks, you do you.
I hate society. I don't even consider myself a part of society. That's all I can think of anytime anybody says anything regarding society is Michael Scott. And I would add on to this, find something that you're into, whatever makes you happy. and look in a community regarding that. If you're into sports or music or anything that you do for entertainment for yourself, you're going to find generally probably some like-minded people. So sort of try to gravitate to those sort of, like, this is going to sound a little weird and random, and it's not necessarily related. But a few years ago, I went to BronyCon in Baltimore, right?
I don't know what that is.
I didn't either. I was under the impression it was this weird sort of perverted, fetishy, almost like the furries, right?
Yeah.
And I thought it was strictly men who are basically obsessed with My Little Pony, right? I went there out of morbid curiosity, expecting to see some of the weirdest shit I've ever seen in my life. But when I got there, and I did it for work, so yeah. I had a crew with me and we were shooting something. I got there and actually sat and talked to these people, and most of them were incredibly normal. They just had this one weird thing that they liked,
right?
But they all connected over that one weird thing. They liked the show, which led to art and all these different, and it truly is a community, and it might not be everyone's cup of tea, but there were a lot of people there that I spoke to who, you know, they have social anxiety and different issues. And that was just kind of what brought them together, was their shared love of My Little Pony. And they do a convention and it's like a weekend long, and there are thousands of people that attend it. And I guarantee you, I know for a fact, people meet some of their best friends. I'm sure there have been romances that have spawned from that. And again, I don't know who this person wrote the email. I'm not suggesting you necessarily go to BronyCon. I'm just using that as an example, because putting yourself around and amongst like-minded people will often trigger a sort of a chain reaction, and you'll get to meet a lot of people and learn about yourself and them in that sort of environment. I think that might be your way to go. So,
and then you won't be feeling insecure, you know, whatever it is, the things you're into, whatever you like. If you find other people that are into those things, or people that have also been single most of their life, like, I guarantee there's a club for that. I promise you there is. So just normalize it. It makes you feel better. Because you are a bad bitch, honey. Question number two, honey. Good day, Matt and Liam.
Good day, mate.
Here's my question with the backstory for context. 37 years ago, my mom gave a child up for adoption while living in Pennsylvania around age 15. The adoption was closed, and she vaguely remembers seeing the baby. She has always told my sisters and I about said half-sibling and that it was another sister. Recently, a man from my mom's past has contacted our family stating he is the father of the half-sibling, and he has been trying to contact him. Interesting. This is all crazy to process and unbelievable that I have a half-brother and he has a little family of his own. My mom has genetic testing pending to be sure this is truly my brother. My question is, how would you start to build a relationship in this situation? I should also note he lives on the opposite side of the country. I know the basics about what he does for a living, etc. Please help in how you would approach the situation. Ooh, that's a lot.
I'm going to take this one because, believe it or not, this one hits very close to home. My ex had a very, very similar situation.
Okay.
Her father had a son to a previous relationship that was not my ex's mom. Estranged for all these years. I don't remember the details, but it's very similar. He kind of came around out of the blue, and the dad was super excited, like, oh, wow, I'm going to get to reconnect. And long story short, I don't know all the details, to be perfectly honest, but it didn't work out. He came around a few times and it just didn't pan out. Things were just too far gone. That said, I would suggest, I think it's really cool that you're in this position, because it could be a new family member, which could be awesome. But I also would approach the whole situation carefully and cautiously, and don't get your own hopes up.
Right.
Because while on paper, hearing that story is like, wow, that's really cool. That's amazing. You have a half sibling that you didn't even know about, or you thought you would never meet, or that part of it's awesome. But also, you can't put the pressure on yourself or even your family that you deal with to force anything to work, because it's been a long time. This person, this brother, most likely is sort of set in his ways and how he is and who he is and how he thinks. And it may be starkly different to how you think and view the world, but it's cool that you're making the effort. I would just say, just like any relationship, take it slow and don't try to force anything.
Yeah, I would just say don't have any expectations. Go into it just kind of being open. If it goes great, awesome. If it doesn't, that's okay too. Just don't set yourself up for disappointment. If you just go in not having any expectations, like, hey, this is my half brother. Let's see where it goes. You never know. It could go either way.
Right. You might have a new best friend, right, and you guys may be thick as thieves going forward, and that would be incredible for you. Just saying, just because I've seen it happen, and the I would describe it as mild heartbreak after the fact, because it wasn't like losing a brother. It was like, oh, I was just kind of, oh, that I thought that was going to be really cool, and it turned out to not be that cool.
Right.
But it's a exciting situation. Yeah, so by all means,
really cool.
Yeah, focus on the positives.
And write us back in and let us know like how it goes when you meet him. I really want to know. I'm very curious.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, guys, while we are on our little hiatus, we will still be checking the mailbag. We'll still be using the questions, all your the comments on YouTube. Keep all that stuff going. It keeps helping. Wow, I can't talk. I just like totally okay, flaked baby. Out. It keeps spread. Wow. One more time. From the top, it helps spread the word about Bear With Us. So keep doing what you're doing, even while we're not dropping the new episodes over the next few weeks. So hopefully the mailbag is full when we come back. Why are you laughing at me? Because I can't talk. I've been talking for
being the one who can't speak.
I know, right? It's karma.
Karma. Question number three, honey. Good afternoon, Matt and Liam. Wow, we have such polite listeners.
I appreciate it.
The Bear With Us faithful is so polite. Yeah. Are so polite. Is or are?
Well, if it is the faithful as one, it would be is, because it's one group. Right. The group, that's the Bear With Us faithful is
polite.
Correct.
All right. I'm emailing you all the way from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
I lived there.
I am a strong, independent woman. Yes, you are, honey. Just like you, Liam. I am in a male-dominated profession, law enforcement, and have difficulty in the dating world. I often find men intimidated by my profession and that I have my own money, housing, and buy anything I want. How can I find a man that accepts me for me and still acts like a gentleman like Matt? Thank you for all of your help. I absolutely love the podcast. P.S. I just ate my first bowl of chocolate magic spoon and it's absolutely delicious.
We weren't
it's
lying.
It's so good. It's honestly so good. I feel like we answered a question like this similar.
Very
to
similar.
This
I believe the woman was not law enforcement. I believe the last.
She was a lawyer.
Yeah. So apparently legalese is not the way to go for relationships.
Right. I mean, just to kind of echo what we were saying with the last question, that was something like this. You know, when you find the right man, they will not be intimidated. I always try to especially with us, I always try to make sure that it's not an intimidating situation. Like, oh, especially in the beginning, I'm like, oh no, like everything is like, I don't even know how to, I'm explaining it, but I just never try to go about it with you. Like, oh, well, I make my own money. Like, fuck off. I don't care about you. Like,
you don't
need
flaunt
you.
That yeah. You're a strong, independent woman. You just
right.
are.
Right.
You don't, and it's, there's,
thank you for helping me with that.
Yeah. See, I don't know that it's intimidating to see a woman in that position so much as it's, I'd say it's a turn off, but when they lead with it, when it's,
right.
Hey, I am this and I am okay, cool. You can be that. But when you lead with that,
right.
And again, I don't know if it's even intimidating is the right word for it. It's just kind of like, oh, okay. I'm going to have to listen to this and hear you beat your own chest,
right.
Which I support feminism and women in every aspect of life. But when the first thing a woman says to a guy is like, so I'm a feminist, I don't need your money. That's intimidating. Cause then you go, okay, well, what the hell do I have left? If you do everything on your own, and women, guys like to feel needed.
Right.
We do. We may not overtly admit it. I mean, I do. We talk all the time about how needy I am, but you need to be able to make your partner feel needed,
right,
or valued at least. Right. So I'm stroking
baby,
out.
It's okay. We're here for you.
No, I can't believe this. I'm embarrassed.
Okay. Do not
my tongue
embarrassed.
Is betraying me.
Oh, well, let's train it. So won't be betraying you later, honey.
Great idea.
No, but just piggybacking off of what you're saying,
trying
and we
to
don't
say.
Know that she's flaunting it. She's
no,
probably
again,
not. Like, we don't know if she's going like, hey, I can do this. I have my own money. I'm doing that. And like, if there's something we said about it, just like, it's unspoken. Like, it's fine. And like, you'll find a guy or a partner that is like turned on by that. Like, yes. Wow, I don't have to worry about supporting her financially. I don't have to worry about, you know, she doesn't have a, like she has a job and she's, you know, booked and busy and doing what she's got to do. I just want to add to her life. And then like, I think we said this a few weeks ago, I'm with you because I want to be with you.
Right.
Not because I'm relying on you for X, Y, Z. So I just think it's important to, you know, take care of yourself, but also know like, I do need you. Like I need you in certain aspects of like, you support me and I need your ear when I'm like going through something. And I do rely on you for a lot of things, you know? And I think, you know, everyone brings something different to the relationship. That's something that we've kind of fight about. You're like, I want to feel like you need me.
Sure.
Whereas a lot of times I'm just kind of like, oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And here I'm going to do this and this, 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 this. And I'm like, oh, shit. No, like I have to.
And that's not, that's not even anything that you consciously or intentionally do.
Right.
You being a strong, self-sufficient, independent woman, you live your life your way.
Right.
And then to your point, you have to remind yourself like, oh, wait, I have to include Matt in some of these things or, right. or in these aspects of my life. So maybe that's something that the woman who emailed us can take to heart where you keep doing you. You've carved out a profession for yourself. You should be absolutely proud of that. You can take care of yourself. So just do you. And again, it sounds not cliche, but I keep using the answer for everything. Don't look for it. Just let it happen. And eventually you'll find a guy who finds your independence and your confidence extremely sexy. And that's the kind of guy you want, somebody who's not threatened by it and isn't turned off by it and isn't afraid of it and right. will embrace it and go, oh, you know what? She's awesome. And you know, the whole playing hard to get thing, by no means am I ever a fan of playing games, but it's kind of cool. It keeps you on your, it keeps me on my toes because I know that at any given moment you can pack your shit and leave and I'm going to be going, oh man, I screwed that up. You know what I'm saying? That's right. Important.
You're not like saying, like you were saying a few weeks ago, like, oh, well, you know, I'm supporting her financially. And like, so if she's not with me, right. like, how is she going to survive?
Exactly. You know? I have no power over you. Everything right. is, it's and balanced. It and I think be. That's why this works as well as it does. Yeah. There is a balance. And yeah. there are plenty of times where you've threatened to pack your and leave.
Yes. And actually, I'm so glad we had a conversation about this today because I was even talking to my mom about it a few weeks ago because she was listening to the podcast. And she was saying, you know, it's just so different nowadays compared to like back when she was growing up or even when, you know, we were kids. You know, the women were made to be a homemaker and make the partner feel good and feel like they were the one that provide for the family. And like the men go to work and they don't necessarily go to work because it's something that they are like super passionate about or love to do. Cause back in the day, it was so much more about family rather than work. Whereas right. nowadays it's like, oh, I need to follow my dream. I got to follow my passion. I got to make money. I got to grind. I got to do this. I got to do that. Whereas, and like family relationships kind of take the back seat to careers nowadays, you know? So I just thought that was super interesting when she said that because, you know, it is intimidating for men because the way that they're taught their whole lives is like, oh, well, I need to make money so I can provide for my family and my wife is happy. And that's what it is. But I'm kind of glad we're in this position now because I like it a little more modernized.
In full disclosure, I'm really excited about the prospect of becoming a kept man.
Oh,
altogether. I'm just going to just stay around the house in my underwear and cook slippers. And work out. And
oh my God. Will you bring me back breakfast in bed?
I mean, if I don't have to go to work anymore, sure.
Okay. I love that for us. Question numero cuatro. Cuatro is four, I guess. Don't look at me like that, Mr. Tongue Tie. Wanted to start off and say how much I enjoy listening to you guys. You are both so raw and real. I just wanted some perspective as to what to do. How would you go about co-parenting if the mother doesn't listen to you at all? My stepson spends all his time at his mother's house on Xbox or electronics. At our house, we limit his time to an hour or two a day. He tells us he is bored at our house, but we have all these things for him to do, but he chooses not to do them. We feel he's bored because we don't cave to the electronics. When we discuss it with his mother, she disagrees and says it keeps him busy and out of her hair. Yikes. He's now in football, but lets him skip practices because he doesn't want to stop playing games. He then gets frustrated when he doesn't play as much. We tried to explain to him it's because he is skipping practice, but mom tells him it's because the coaches don't like him. He loves football, but gets sidetracked on Xbox. He's 11, so he's getting more independent, but we want to set him up good. Any advice would be appreciated. Wow, that's a lot.
She's a stepmom, so yes. I want your stepmom perspective before I give you my side of things.
Here's where I come in our equation, right? They're your children, right? And so you obviously have a specific way you have raised them for the last however many years, 13 years for your oldest. And so you have a certain way of doing things. And I know you co-parent with your ex and you guys have a pretty good co-parenting relationship. You're mostly on the same page. If something happens, say they lose their phone at mom's house, well, then they don't have their phone at dad's house. You know, we try to be pretty good with that.
Right.
But here's where I come in. I feel like I only step in and say something if I feel like, okay, this is like not okay. You know, if it's something that it's like, okay, that's really not a big deal. I'm not going to give my two cents. I have my own idea how I would do it if they were my children, but I don't want to overstep boundaries unless it gets to a point where I'm like, hey, listen, like that is not acceptable, especially if they're going to be disrespectful or something to me, then of course I would say something. But sometimes you let them get away with things and I have to tell you, like, I'll stick up for them if I have to, if you're like being a little too strict or something. And I feel like you didn't see something that happened that I did. So I stand up for them. However, I feel like a lot of times after the fact, I will go to you and say, hey, you are being way too lenient on this. Like you're not being consistent. You're letting her, especially the youngest, I feel like you kind of baby her because she is the youngest. And of course, but seeing it from my perspective, I'm like, no, you're not being consistent, because the other two, you would kick their asses for that, but you're letting her say that, you know?
Sure.
So that's on my perspective. I say something if I feel as though something needs to be said.
Co-parenting is tricky and give it time. I don't know what the situation is, how long you've been doing it. It took a while, but to this day, my ex and I are on pretty solid ground as far as the kids go. And that's really the only priority. Once a divorce happens, you need to focus on the kids above and beyond. And we figured out what works for us. And to your point, if my kids get in trouble there, I try to carry that over.
Yes.
Conversely, if I get, you know, it rarely happens, but if I were to ground the girls from their phone, or as far as the day-to-day football and the video games, sometimes you just need to bust the kid's ass. And I don't mean that physically. I mean, when he's at your house, you say, hey, no, you're at my house. And obviously I recommend and suggest you talking with your partner, because it is his child first and foremost. But I think it's completely fair the way Leah does it when she says, hey, what, you know, this doesn't make sense to me. Or maybe you try that. She doesn't tell me how to raise my children, but she offers suggestions from her perspective. And if this is something that you haven't had a conversation with your husband, have the conversation first and say, listen, this is making me nuts. I think we should do something better. More often than not, when it comes to kids, if it's a logical idea and it seems like it's going to benefit the kids and yourselves, most parents are going to go, hey, okay, that does make sense. We should, you know, work on that. All you can control is what goes down when he's with you. That's the one thing that we still sort of, my kids at their mom's house, they don't even really have a bedtime.
Right.
When they're here, you better believe. I'm like the freaking structure, military with structure, because I feel they need that. And I think it all ultimately balances itself out. So I think the important thing is between you and your husband to have these conversations, make sure you guys are working together, and try not to go 100% against what the child's mother is doing. If you feel like she's a little too lenient with the video games, maybe he has a conversation with her. And if she says, that's how I want to raise him, okay, you can only let your voice be heard, and you're going to make yourself crazy trying to change how everybody else does. Focus on what the kid does when he's with you. If he's on his phone and video games too much, guess what? Your parents, your adults. You can take things away from the kids. You can tell them what they can and can't do. That's the problem.
Right.
So many people are letting their kids run their lives that they're afraid to go, hey, wait a minute. This is my damn house. I'm paying that damn cell phone bill.
Right. I just think too, nowadays with electronics, kids are just constantly on them.
And my kids are guilty of it too.
And like, well, I'll tell him, like, or I'll say, why don't you go outside, go do something? He's like, I'm bored. Mm-hmm. I'm bored. Always on their phones, always playing video games. It's like, well, go and do something. Learn how to, I don't know, read a book, or not learn how to read a book, but read a book, or learn how to learn a new craft, or play with a toy. I don't know. You don't always have to be on electronics. So for them to say they're bored, well, then they need to spiced up their creativity a little bit.
And it's funny because I've noticed in my youngest got an iPod, like a video iPod for her birthday a few weeks ago from the other side of the family. But she, I always joked, was the only one of my children that was born with an imagination because she has the ability to sit down and
play Barbie
or Play-Doh or any arts and crafts. She's constantly doing something. She's got that damn electronic device now. I haven't seen her do anything but that. No. And so I think it's very important that we all as a society teach kids coming up like, yeah, this is cool. This is convenient. It's awesome. You can watch YouTube and watch whatever you want, whenever you want. That's great. But there's a hell of a lot more to life than what's going on in that little 4-inch screen in your hand.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, good luck. I think, again, just to reiterate, have the conversation with your husband about what's concerning to you and let him know you're not trying to overstep your bounds. Just say, hey, man, this is something I've noticed. I feel like maybe we should address it. I'd be willing to bet he's going to go, yeah, you're probably right. And, you know, stick to your guns.
And as a stepmom, I think it's important for you to, you shouldn't be speaking up every time there's something, because then when you do speak up for something you really believe in, they're going to be like, well, like your partner will be like, well, you always say that, or you always have something to input. To me, I feel like I speak up to you about the kids when it's something I really believe,
right?
You know, rather than like
pick
every
your
time.
Battles,
yeah,
sure.
Exactly. Pick your battles, die only on the hill you're willing to really die on. Otherwise you're going to be like the boy who cried wolf every time.
Right. And that's going to breed resentment when you're trying to tell somebody else how to raise their kid.
Yeah. No,
not going to last long.
No.
I think I have one more question before we take this long hiatus. Oh. This is something that I mentioned to you the other day. It's something that's puzzled me for quite some time. I'm very curious. I need to get your take. And I want the listeners to weigh in on this. When is it time? How do you know? And how do you go about disposing of underwear when you're through with them? Does everybody have their own sort of way they do things?
I'm sure. I feel like I have some pairs of underwear that I've had for like years.
Yeah, but they're like in good condition and still wearable. Right. Let me preface this by saying if it's falling apart, got holes in it, and it's get rid of it. Yeah. I'm just saying as far as general, like, all right, it's time to move on from this. Like, I obviously, guys and girls' underwear fits different, accomplishes different things, different parts to hold in different places. Right. I know when the like elasticity starts to strain a little bit, when it's like I put them on and they're not tight.
Right.
I'm like, okay, it's time to get rid of these. But I have this problem when I don't realize that until I put them on.
So then when you off and throw them away?
That would be totally but I don't think like that, because then I'm like, oh, and then I have to go get other underwear.
You're lazy, babe.
No, but then what happened? Now I'm like, I'll just wear them and then I'll throw them away when I'm finished rather than washing them. But out of habit, I throw them back in the hamper. And next thing you know, they're back in the drawer and I wear them again. It's like this endless cycle of underwear I don't want to wear.
Why don't you just put a mark on them with a Sharpie? That way I know when I'm done doing your laundry, I'll throw them away.
There you go. Well, because then I'm like, well, I don't want to force you to wash them if I'm just going to throw them away when they're washed.
Well, how will I know which ones they are?
I'm not putting this on you. This is a question that may not even be answered. There probably is no right answer.
No, I saw something. I think it was like the Betches account. It's like an account on Instagram, and they always post like just hilarious TikToks and videos. And I think my sister sent it to me. It was like this whole thing about like, you should throw your underwear away like every 6 months or to a year. And I'm like, and like the girls, when she read that, she was like, whoops, like, you know, you've had underwear for like years. I've had some of my underwear from like since college. And it's not even because I'm like trying to keep it. It's just there. I have like a whole tub of underwear. So sometimes you don't even know what's in there.
I don't know. A whole bunch. I'm just very curious. I don't know why.
A funny, random, weird question.
I was laying in bed the other night waiting to fall asleep and my mind
this
was going.
You're like, all right, I got to wake up at 6 a.m. Oh my God, I'm really hungry. I wish I had another beer. Oh my God, when do I throw my underwear away?
Well, because the underwear that I had put on to go to sleep, I quickly realized like, I don't want to wear these anymore. I want to throw these away.
So you should have just thrown it away. Why don't you know when you have to get undressed to shower.
Right.
When you take them off, why don't you just throw them in the trash?
Because I'm very self-conscious about seeing my own underwear in a small trash can as in a bathroom.
So then throw the trash out.
I could do that. I'm just saying, there's a lot of layers to this.
Babe, it's pretty logical. You throw the underwear away, you empty the trash.
I spent
or get like a grocery bag.
There's nothing wrong with them.
Okay, so then go get a little grocery bag from like Target, put it in the bag, and then throw it away. Babe, okay, so here's the thing. You always have an excuse. There's too many excuses here. I don't want to take them off. I don't want to throw them away. I don't want anyone to see them. I don't want to wear them. I don't know what to do.
I thought it was a legitimate question. It's mailbag.
It is a legitimate question.
That's all.
To know when you should, timeline wise.
I just didn't know if there's like a standard protocol like that most people do. It's, I don't know. This is what happens when I lay in bed and you are not there to keep me awake and stimulated, or I'm not watching television and I'm like just alone with my thoughts. This is the sort of stupidity that happens in my brain when I'm left to my own devices.
You know what's funny is like, it's like that meme where like the chick is laying next to the dude and she's like, he's like laying there and she's like, oh my God, is he thinking about another woman?
Yes.
Is he thinking about, you know, how I'm not pretty anymore? And really the thought bubble is, when do I throw my underwear out?
Yeah. That's exactly what this is. I don't know. This is maybe a question that will never be answered.
Oh my God. Well, this was fun. And I'm really a little sad that we're not going to be doing
this. Why are you sad?
Week.
It's just a break. We're not like going away. We're not even going to go away for that long. Like hopefully a few weeks, you know.
I'm just sad because I'm going to miss the Bear With Us.
Well,
faithful.
Well, the good news is when we are all settled in our new casa, we will no doubt have tons of new stories and developments to fill in our Bear With Us listeners. And, just keep an eye on all of our social pages. Again, we might not be posting new things for the next couple of weeks, but if you follow us, if you don't already, make sure you follow us on Instagram, on Twitter, and whatnot, etc. And any cool news and developments will be sent your way as we are given the green light to be able to do them.
I just want to let the Bear With Us listeners know that I can always hit that high note too. Ready? Love you. Oh my God. Whitney? Are you kidding? I don't know who I love more, Whitney or Cher.
Oh, I just don't.
Who do you love more, Whitney or Cher?
I love you
Whitney's
the most,
iconic,
baby.
Whitney's iconic, though.
Whitney Goodbye
or Cher,
forever.
You guys, let me know. Bear with us.
A house in the middle of the street. A house.